You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
All right, welcome back to another episode of the Waveform Podcast. The only thing not yet canceled in 2020, still going strong. We're your hosts. I'm Marquez Brownlee.
And I'm Andrew Manganelli.
And that's the best I could come up with for the intro.
Yeah, right. We asked you guys for some new intros and we got some on Twitter, and I appreciate the creativity, but hoof saying them out loud was not
they,
great.
They all kind of read like the cringy kind of one that we were joking about avoiding. Yeah, like let's ride that wave.
I feel like I can only do that if I do the like hang 10 symbols. But you guys can't see that.
We'll just mix it up. We'll see how it goes. We'll see if we can land on something.
But yeah, reading a lot of those out loud is just like, oh man, I don't know if I can pull myself to doing that every other week.
We'll find one.
Yeah.
So obviously we're in a bit of a weird situation. Yeah. That's probably with a lot of people, but, the podcast we're able to, this is your hashtag quarantine content. Mm-hmm. I feel like if we're all staying home, we might as well come together to listen to a lot of podcasts and check out, I think online videos are another great thing, to just check out. But, we are in the studio to record the podcast, but in general, we are socially isolated. We're a healthy mm-hmm. distance from each other.
Yeah, we are right now.
Which is
These
great.
Mic arms go pretty far. So I would say we've got about a meter between us staying up to CDC rules.
The message I'm passing along, which I already did in the latest Q&A video, is just the same thing the CDC is saying, the same thing you've heard probably a million times on Twitter. Be responsible, stay at home, wash your hands, and take care of yourself to take care of others. You might not be the one who's gonna get sick or come down with symptoms, but preventing the spread of it and flattening the curve is the whole point of everything we're doing with social distancing. So just passing along that message, if you haven't already heard it, definitely adhere to it and pay attention to what your governor's tweeting, basically.
Yeah, pretty much the science. Pay attention to the science of what people are telling you to do. And we are at the channel now. We're going to try and put out as much content as possible, but we are... This week, Marquez told us to stay home. He's been in the studio, but he's been in by himself.
Yeah.
Our building is not fully shut down, but pretty much shut down.
It's on the way.
No one here.
Yeah.
I came in today just to record this, but we're talking about also potentially finding ways of recording stuff at home and ways that we can still give you guys content while being responsible.
Yeah, pretty much everything that has been going on in the background is sort of pausing, like the studio build, the construction, that's sort of slowing down to a pause, and the content on the channel, as much as we want to make great videos for you, like hashtag quarantine content, we want to make awesome stuff, but it'll probably just be me solo, so the videos will take a little bit of a, maybe not a dip, but they'll just be less glorious third-person shots and more of just us sharing new tech.
Yeah, back to your old dorm room
setup. Which is not a bad thing. Those were fun to make.
Bring the Cheerios out. Let's do...
I might just do some throwback type of video style. Yeah, so anyway, what we did have is a bunch of stuff from the last week, which we can go over because there was a good amount of interesting stuff.
Yeah, it was a weird week of some of the releases. Specifically the Escobar.
Well, that we might as well start with
that. Yeah, let's start with it. It's the best.
Escobar Fold, we finally did a video about it, and really it was more of an expose, if you want to call it that. There was a little bit of digging, a little bit of investigative fun to eventually put it all together in one place.
It's weird to say investigative because it feels like when you saw everything about this, it was so obvious, but like we did see some stuff coming out that didn't seem to mention a lot of the weird stuff behind it. It's a fascinating phone in the sense of like, what the hell's going on?
Yeah, like, it's basically, if you haven't seen that video, it's like 12 minutes long or whatever, but go watch it. We go over what the Escobar Fold is, which is, it's a Galaxy Fold with a sticker on it. And the whole, like, why should we even pay attention to it? What's their strategy? What is it, a scam? That whole, like, explained half of the video. So That's basically what we're talking about.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people are actually extremely worried about us because of it.
Oh,
because
I'm fine.
Like it's we're all okay.
I think it was the chief of assassinations in their bio that was probably giving people reason to worry.
And I totally understand that, but that person, that's Pablo Escobar's brother, and he's in his like 80s or 90s or something. We're all pretty sure he has almost nothing to do with this this actual organization. Is that what you want to call it? Company?
At best.
Whatever. Yeah, like that the guy Olaf or whatever his name is using that as just a name notoriety to get some word out there. It was also interesting. It came with a book, like a legitimate book called, what was it called? How I Made Billions Selling Coke and Now Smartphones.
And now my phones are going to beat Apple and kill Apple and Samsung. What? The title alone was enough to make me shake my head. Like,
yeah,
what's going on?
I think legitimately everyone in the studio who's seen it has flipped through it, just assuming all the words were just fake. And like that, what's the name of that text that on websites just to show you? What
oh, just
it looks
the
like
lorem ipsum and over again. Maybe I should read it.
Yeah, you've got some time.
I do have some time now. Quarantine content. Gonna read that Escobar book.
Yeah.
No, we're good. You don't have to worry about me being assassinated because of exposing their scam. But if you were worried, it is a scam. Just say
it's
no.
It's definitely a scam. Yeah. And also for everyone sending us emails, we're not selling the phone.
Oh, I got a shocking amount of emails from people
our business account has as well.
Yeah, let me buy that Escobar fold off you. Just don't, like, I'm not going to sell the one I have, which is, by the way, I think people want it just because they think they can get it for $400 from me. Just get a fold if you want one. Don't get a fold if you don't need a fold.
Yeah, I get people are trying to get it for cheaper. Don't buy it from the Escobar site. Yeah. We've also gotten tweets of people, like, sending their money. It's wire transfers and Bitcoin or, like, cryptocurrency. Do not give them any
if
money.
There's ever a red flag on something that you suspect might be a scam, it's the fact that they don't accept like regular credit and debit cards that you can charge back. So anyway, there you have it. There was some other stuff this week though too. We had the Oppo Find X2 Pro, had a first look at that, and that's like a weird, not a weird phone, but they did some things that put it on the radar for me right after I reviewed the Galaxy S20 Ultra. They one-upped it in a couple of ways. And I've always said forever, Samsung's got the best displays in their flagship phones that came from the Galaxy Note and from the Galaxy S. And that I happen to say again for the Galaxy S20 Ultra, huge, high-res, 120Hz display. The Find X2 Pro will do 3K by 1440 and 120Hz at the same time, which Samsung will not do. And I tested that for a couple days while I was putting together the video, and I got okay battery life. You can do variable refresh rate or variable resolution, but I just locked them both at the top because I was like, why not? And it was pretty cool that they could one-up Samsung in that way. So that was cool to see. But it was just a first impressions video of a phone that I think caught a lot of people off guard. It was pretty cool.
You put that as your daily for a little bit, didn't you?
Yeah, I had my SIM card in it for a while. I again started to get a little bit annoyed by the curved screen over the sides because, you know, Samsung flattened it off and I was really pumped about that. And then I had the Galaxy S20, which was smaller and also had a flat screen. And in between those, I used this Find X2 Pro, which had the curved screen. And you really notice it every time you pick up and use the phone.
Yeah.
As the content spills over the edges and you get a lot of, it's just a different feel in the hand. So I did use it for a bit, but I haven't stuck with it. I was curious if people wanted to see a full review of it because I still haven't reviewed the Z Flip and I'm still waiting. I'm still waiting for my Razr actually. That's supposed to have shipped like a month ago now, which maybe we should look back into that.
Possibly,
But a lot of things in the pipeline, but we did get to see a first look at the Find X2 Pro. And then we also reviewed a collaborative review with Your Average Consumer, fellow New Jersey YouTuber. Just before quarantine started locking us down, we had the Galaxy S20. That was a fun review too.
It was fun. That was a fun day just in general. We changed it up a little bit. I think the main reasoning behind that was S20 Ultra had a lot of the new features that you would see already. So this is like, we still wanted to look at the cheaper version, but we wanted to make it a little fun because there's going to be a lot of similarities. So Judner came over. He does his Day in the Life series, which we'll link in the show notes as well. Just more our show notes this week is going to be
full
long.
Of stuff. Hey,
we just want you guys to just kill all the boredom you're doing at home. We want to give you a reason to make sure you don't go outside. But anyways, he came over. we just spent the entire day together and shot some B-roll, ate lunch, checked out the new studio, did a bunch of stuff while testing the phone. I think both of them came out pretty good.
His day in the lifestyle is pretty sweet. Like, you get a better idea. Mainly the things he's testing in his day in the life are the stuff you're curious about after a first impression, mm-hmm. which are how well will the battery really hold up? So it gives you sort of updates throughout the day about that. And a lot of camera testing. So going around the studio and, of course, taking photos of things. It's funny when people walk around the studio, they like pick up on things that I didn't even realize were like good photo subjects. Uh-huh. Just like, you know, the Roadster diecast models over there, or just like, you know, he parked his car next to mine in the parking lot. So it was kind of a cool photo op for those. So just a bunch of stuff to test the cameras. And that's what his video had. So you can check them both out.
Yeah. And one other thing that a lot of people have been asking about was our dbrand plug in that one.
Oh, that was the best one. Yeah.
We had a lot of fun doing that. People are also like, they can't believe what we did. I mean, so if you didn't watch it, pretty much there's a quick clip. This is the most fun I've ever had in a video, probably.
Nice.
Marquez calls for the phone, which has the dbrand grip case on it with the new teardown skin, which is sweet. It's a collaboration with Jerry Rig Everything.
Oh, yeah.
They kind of take almost a photo of the internals of the phone and then make a skin on it. So it looks like you have the clear back, kind of what Zach does on his channel for real, but instead of having to
actually destroy
your phone yourself.
Much easier.
Much, much easier. But anyways, we're in the new studio. Marquez calls for the phone and I literally just toss it. How far do you think that is?
That's gotta be, I think it probably went at least 40 feet.
Right? Like the whole studio length is about 125, right?
Yeah, over 100 feet.
And I tossed it from one of the far rooms to about within like 15 feet of the back window. So
yeah, so a pretty good and it like I was kind of curious if it would like bounce and like topple and roll or if it would just slide, and the way you threw it was kind of, everyone was like, he threw it like a frisbee. I was like, you don't realize how long we both that's how we throw things.
Yeah, exactly.
That thing skidded for a while.
Slid, man.
I picked it up, and you know the best part is that wasn't the only time we shot that.
Oh no, we 7 or 8 times probably. We started from a closer. Okay, first of all, dbrand reached out to us about doing this. I think they wanted us to like throw it on a table or something.
Yeah,
and so then
like we'll one up that, trust me.
Yeah, well so we come in and they brought the phone over and they said we were gonna throw. I hadn't heard about this. You and them had been talking about tossing it, and then they were like, oh yeah, we're gonna throw this, right? And I was like, what? And then
I was like, oh yeah, I forgot to tell you. You gotta throw this phone to me.
And I was like, I'm throwing it. I was terrified I was gonna break it. I don't know, man. I know the case is good. I've actually been using the case, which I really do enjoy. The new buttons they've added are great, but not to turn this into
hashtag ad.
Not to turn this
slow
into
down,
a huge
Andrew.
Ad right here. But like I was terrified of throwing it. And we started off with a closer room, maybe like 20-25 feet I threw it, and it survived. And actually my first throw, just saying, was like perfect. It like landed right at your feet.
Wait, you should
perfectly
I was gonna put them in the end of the video as bloopers, but I didn't, but you should totally put like post these the alternate shots that we didn't include in the video.
Okay. Yeah,
so
yeah,
people
I'll,
can see
I'll post on my Twitter. I'll post.
Okay,
should I just edit them all together, or should I just
one long clip of how many times you tried?
I'll edit them all together and I'll post them on my Twitter. So
perfect.
You know, follow me.
Show notes. Anyways, check them out.
I tossed the first one. It was like perfect. It got up and it worked. And I was just like, I could do that better. And then we're like, we could do that further. So one toss of being terrified turned into me just launching this phone across the new studio for like
One went a good 15 feet past me. Relax. Maybe take a notch off of that throw.
But we had a lot of fun with it. Frisbee came into play there a little bit.
Yeah.
I really realized how often, like, for people who play Frisbee, if you throw anything flat, you understand, you like, you step out and
you
have
automatically
the same form.
Put spin on it. Automatically, yeah.
So that was a lot of fun. It did work. I think the worst that happened to it was there's some dust because they're still doing a little construction down there. But like, I was very surprised at how
held up great.
How well it held up. I mean, it hit the floor hard. You can hear the noise it makes when it hits the ground.
It's a big phone,
not
man.
Pretty.
Yeah.
It's
I'm glad it survived. It made for a great little clip in there.
It really did.
That was all in the Galaxy S20 review. Then last but not least was our Q&A video.
Yeah.
Which was, I'd say, the beginning of quarantine content, which is mm-hmm. hey, let's talk Talk Tech on Twitter and just see what you guys want to know. We had a bunch of cool, interesting questions in there, as we typically do. And I think one of them was just like, oh, but the main one was really talking about like this rollable phone concept, talked about on the last episode, mm-hmm. and just what people think of it. And got a lot of interesting comments about that.
Wait, speaking of, can I bring that, watching that again?
So yeah.
Do you remember I had mentioned, do I think the screen goes on the backside of the phone or not?
Right.
Now, like I looked at it again in the video. It specifically looks like the way the screen folds in, there is a piece over it on the backside. So do we not think it shows on the back anymore? I don't know if everyone remembers this conversation right. from last time. But
I believe it folds that screen underneath some material on the back. So mm-hmm. there will be no screen showing on the back
when it's
closed. And then you open it and of course it's all on the
front.
And
it's there, yeah.
But again, I've been talking to TCL and we're trying to see if we can make a hands-on of that concept happen so I can go in depth with that, which would be pretty sweet. I want to show that. But as of right
tougher.
Now.
Yeah, right now.
Yeah, it's kind of tough to get that overseas. But either way, we're looking into that.
Cool.
But yeah, that was last week.
Speaking of that Q&A, we've regularly been doing the Q&As on the podcast. What we're going to do in today's episode is normally we talk about content we like here and Q&As at the end. Since we don't have a Q&A, we're going to give you guys a ton of content we like at the end of this episode. Once again, social distancing. Want to give you guys plenty of stuff to sit at home, have fun with. So stick around till the end of here and we're going to give you guys a ton of recommendations for things to keep yourself occupied with.
Perfect.
Cool.
All right, so let's take a quick break and then we'll come back and we'll talk actual tech news from this week and then we'll do our social distancing content.
Cool.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com. Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
All right, welcome back. We have a bit of tech news to talk about, which is honestly a little bit refreshing because so much of the news in the past like 2-3 weeks has not been tech related. But we did find some stuff. Xbox and PS5 are being teased out a bit more. Uh-huh. Did you see Austin got exclusive hands-on with Xbox?
It looked really cool.
Yeah.
Actually, it looked really similar to that new NZXT case.
Yeah, it's vertical.
It's vertical. It looks nice. I actually like that form factor a lot. Depending on where you can put it, I guess. If you're one of those people who has like a little slot under your TV, it's tough. But like if it's standing on a stand somewhere or like on your TV stand, it looks really nice.
I think. You know, those slots are all kind of designed with the same form factor in mind, right?
Yeah.
Like a VCR, a cable box, a PS4, you know, whatever, like a PS3, an Xbox One, they're all the same shape.
If you had to guess the amount of people listening to this podcast, right, the percentage of people listening right now who had a VCR growing up.
A VCR?
Yeah. Did you have a VCR growing up?
I had a VCR, I'm 26, but I feel like if you're any younger than about 22, you probably either didn't have one or didn't know what it was. Yeah. But like, I'm just thinking everything that ever connects to your TV like that is either behind it, like a Chromecast, or it's in that like rectangle shape. So it's kind of interesting that they're making the Xbox much different.
I know they're going like really deep into like having like Xbox and PlayStation now are having specs very similar, like computers, which is crazy and great and awesome. But I'm surprised they haven't gone for like the really, do you remember like PS2 Slim? Like how they started getting to that really, really small form factor? I'm surprised we're not getting to that form factor of like stick it onto the back of your TV and that's where it is and doesn't show
smaller.
Up anyway.
I think the main push is less about like smallness and portability and more just about like graphics and power.
Yeah, I think competing against the PC market.
Yeah, if you want like a small, like a Switch or something where graphics aren't as important, you can always get that. But I think they're trying to, I think that was Austin's whole shtick too. Half of his video was like, because it's a PC.
Okay.
Yeah, like he's super hardcore on this. Awesome. Is just a computer, guys. So hey, show notes. Check show it out. Austin's video. I think he was pretty proud of like that entire hands-on experience.
I know they were all really proud. I saw Jimmy, I saw Ken, I saw them all, like Matt talking about it and how pumped they were at seeing that.
Yeah.
And
it's so
really
today, cool. Today, yeah. As we're recording this, they're revealing the PlayStation 5 specs.
Really?
So that's probably also in the show notes. Just keep scrolling, guys. Yeah, there's a lot down there. But
lots to look forward to.
Yes. Also, speaking of tech events, WWDC was finally not canceled, but moved to online only for Apple. So that's their big event every year. And that's typically, what, June, I think? And sometime in the summer, May or June?
Is it usually pre-IO or?
I think it's a little after IO.
Okay, IO is usually end of May, I think.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that was moved to online only.
Makes sense.
There's also a suspected March event. Like last year, there was a March event where Apple gave us iPad Pro and a bunch of other interesting stuff. There was a suspected March event this year. We didn't get it. It was never announced, but we suspect Apple was planning one and canceled it. But that didn't stop them from dropping a couple new products on us super recently.
Okay, I haven't gotten a chance to look at it, but I had a friend in Slack just be like, Apple's releasing stuff right now? Like, that's the last thing I expected.
Yeah, if you go to apple.com, right at the top, it says, we just closed all of our stores for the foreseeable future, but also here's our new stuff.
Sweet.
They're getting right along with it. And we're actually maybe expecting some more stuff in the near future too, but the stuff we have now is a new MacBook Air and the new iPad Pro. So which one do you want to hear about first?
I like iPad better.
Okay.
Well, let's see.
Start with iPad?
As someone who doesn't have either of them and isn't really planning on getting either of them, the iPad still absolutely
I will say the
MacBook,
me. The MacBook Air, we could probably just breeze through first because
it's
a smaller
update. Let's breeze through it.
So it's the MacBook Air is the most popular laptop Apple makes, has been for a while. They've updated it so it's the new scissor switches on the keyboard now. So if you've typed on a MacBook Air lately, holy crap, those are some shallow keys. It's got those really shallow keys. So they've updated the keyboard, number one. It's got new processor, 10th gen Intel Ice Lake Y, up to quad core chip now on the MacBook Pro or MacBook Air if you want one. Much improved graphics performance with Iris Plus graphics. They doubled the base storage to 256 gigs and it's shipping next week. It starts at $1,000. I'm looking forward to the Dave 2D video about this just because, honestly, if you look through his channel, all the laptops he's reviewed, there's usually a pretty heavy focus on what you're getting for the money and performance. And MacBook Air has never been the strongest performer, and it's always been pretty expensive. So as they come up in performance and down in price, I kind of wonder if this is fair now, like if this is a reasonable option for people who are in PC world, maybe thinking about switching. But for Macs, this is easily their most popular laptop, and it will continue to be for a long time, I think.
Can we all agree that Dave 2D is the best laptop content on YouTube?
Easily my favorite.
Like,
I mean, first of all, my favorite thumbnails. Shout out to Dave's thumbnails.
Wait. And now even on another section, did you see, this is something that happened on Twitter yesterday, I think. He posted just like a picture of his wireless mouse dongle breaking. I thought it was a thumbnail.
It looked good.
His stupid pictures online are better than 99% of YouTuber thumbnails.
Some people are just that aesthetic, man.
I hope he didn't set it up. Even if he did, it's incredible.
It looked great.
He makes the best thumbnails. He makes the best laptop content.
So yeah. I'm looking forward to his review of this MacBook Air.
Yeah,
we will be getting our hands on it soon. I mean, it comes out next week, so eventually it's going to be in our hands. And the other thing is iPad Pro.
Okay.
So, all right, I'm looking at this on my iPad Pro right now. I have an 11-inch iPad Pro with cellular. I use it all the time, and I use it specifically as a tablet. I don't have a keyboard folio. I don't have a case that props it up. I just
use it to slam.
I just
the
wave
microphone.
It around as a tablet, and that's all I really need
so
it for.
Light.
Yeah, just swing it around. So iPad Pro update has a lot of things that I'll just go through them, and you can
see how it's
moving it towards computer territory.
Okay,
what is a computer? Okay, iPad Pro added the round camera bump on the back, so they've put in one more camera. You know, the back of the iPhone has that rounded square with the cameras in it. Same rounded square on the back of the new iPad Pro, but you have an ultra-wide camera now. And I don't know if these are all updated cameras, but there is also a LiDAR array in the back. So there's no telephoto camera, but that third bump is LiDAR, and that's for better depth detection for portrait mode, maybe. but okay. also mostly AR.
I have to admit, you're not exciting me about it quite yet.
This is probably the least important update. Cool. There's also some improved studio quality mics. That's in air quotes. There's a lot of stuff
I'm
we got to test.
I'm fully game with better microphones on it because I think it's a great way of like FaceTime or right now conferencing with your work remotely. It's something that microphones I think are super important. And like the back camera, I just don't get. It does. Wow, this is going to be a dumb question. It has a front-facing camera, right?
It does.
Okay. Have they updated that at all?
They didn't mention it, so I would believe it's the same, but again, we'll probably test this stuff.
I feel like, would you agree that the front camera would be way more beneficial to upgrade? Because I could see it as an incredible way of FaceTime, like video conferencing.
Okay, so as much as I rag on people for shooting photos and videos with the iPad, we've all seen like the grandpa in the back of like the school play with like holding up the iPad, blocking people's view.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen people on a trail in a national park taking pictures of animals.
Oh my God, as much as I rag on that, I think the back camera on the iPad is still very useful for a lot of people, whether it's for scanning documents or just capturing media, whatever they're doing. But yes, the front-facing camera is probably equally important for a lot of people.
I completely agree with you in terms of scanning documents. I just don't think you need to take a portrait mode photo of of your W-2 that you're scanning.
No, yeah. A lot of the other stuff was just about, they do so much with AR now that you need a back camera to do AR, and there's AR games.
Okay,
and you can
that
build
makes
stuff.
So much more sense now. Like if you're working with something similar, I mean, just as an example, like Apple does their AR stuff where you can look and see like, remember when Mac Pro they first showed it off, like you could see it. That makes way more sense.
You put
to
objects
me,
into your environment. Okay. A lot of the demos they showed is like IKEA, you know, show what a couch would look like in the room in front of you, stuff like that.
I can see that making good job, Apple.
Yeah, so they updated that. That's cool to see. LiDAR is an interesting choice. I mean, it's kind of along the same lines of the depth sensor and on some other smartphones. Mm-hmm. We'll see how well that works. But I'll take any improvement there.
Cool.
That's cool. Studio quality mics is cool. Also A12Z Bionic. So
the fastest chip ever.
Fastest
in an iPad.
Chip we've ever put in an iPad. It's a small bump from what I believe was the last gen's A12X Bionic. So it's just another letter, I guess. It's already a great performer. I have literally no complaints about my iPad's performance. Okay. So it's still another step up from that. Just so you know, ahead of time, price is gonna be $799 for the small one, $999 for the big one. And then there's this new floating magic keyboard accessory that's stealing all the attention.
That I did see a picture of.
This one I am fascinated by because it changes sort of their positioning. We've had Surface tablets and 2-in-1s and everything forever, and iPad has always been sort of hovering around this market, but Apple's never really leaned into it this hard.
Yeah.
So this magic keyboard accessory has, if you can imagine like an iPad, you just magnetize it into this keyboard case.
Yeah.
It has scissor switches, full-size backlit keyboard.
Okay.
It has a hinge strong enough to float the iPad over the keyboard.
Okay, so before we get into the next thing, how to describe that? Would you agree with me? A lot of like small businesses, whether it's like a coffee shop or even our bistro downstairs, they have those kind of like iPad-esque registers where they type it in and they spin it around to
you.
They
just slot an iPad in a metal stand.
It looks like that, right? Like that's... Right. Maybe 4 inches off the ground and kind of lean back a little bit and has a base where I'm assuming now that's where the keyboard is.
Yes.
Okay.
So it'll be kind of like that, but you know, a little more flexible because you can just close it.
Cool.
So it hovers it, you know, maybe 2 inches above the keyboard, which is getting it closer to eye level. Mm-hmm. Cool. How sturdy is that hinge? I don't know. Hopefully very sturdy. And then on the side, there's a little USB Type-C pass-through port. So this whole Magic Keyboard is connecting to the iPad through the pins on the back. You can plug in with USB-C on that corner of the hinge, and that's full power pass-through.
Awesome.
So you open up the port on the side of the iPad again for another accessory, a card reader or something.
For your pencil.
Yeah. Well, the pencil, the pencil's already on the magnetized side, so thank gosh it doesn't have to use a pencil. But that's pretty cool, USB Type-C. And then it has a trackpad.
Nice.
And
I get what's to make fun of it, but I get it also. Like,
so the whole accessory starts at $300 and is coming out in May, and I think just this whole thing brings up a lot of questions about, well, why would they make something like this first of all, and what is that experience like using an iPad with a trackpad when it's typically a touch first environment. We've seen mouse support, little videos about like hacking into like the accessibility settings and getting mouse support on the iPad, but now they're fully on embracing it. So what is that like? Number one question I've seen is this Magic Keyboard still backwards compatible with the old iPad Pro? The answer is yes. The current iPad Pro I'm holding with the same design, it will work with it.
Okay.
That's as far back as it goes. Doesn't work with the first gen iPad Pro. But number two, Logitech alongside this is also launching a $179 keyboard case with a trackpad for the new iPad Pro. And this one, you know, it doesn't float or anything and it doesn't have the USB Type-C pass-through, but it's still a backlit keyboard with a trackpad for the iPad Pro. And this one they're making even further backwards compatible. So generally there's going to be an iOS 13.4 update that I think it's coming out next week that's going to give improved trackpad support to all iPads. You can hook up your Magic Trackpad from your iMac to the iPad. Huh. And all of this cursor support is coming in a new iOS update. So that brings a question. What the hell do you do with a cursor on the iPad that you couldn't already do with your hands?
Okay, so I guess like they're obviously trying to turn this more into a computer.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I mean, that's what their thing is. What's a computer? Which I think is really dumb. But and aside from that, like, I can totally understand it. The laptop I have in front of me right now, Surface, the Microsoft Surface, I have a Razer laptop at home. Both of them have touchscreen on it, and I literally never touch.
That's what I was going to say. There's two things. Mm-hmm. There's two things in this world. There is an iPad with a keyboard and a trackpad, or there is a MacBook with a touchscreen.
Okay.
And if I play devil's advocate, what's the difference? To me, it's just apps. And the general UI of like a mouse and multi-window support versus like, if you watch the video on the way this cursor interacts with the iPad, there is no actual arrow, but there's just like a blue, a clear, like white circle around the screen, sort of like your finger would be on the screen. Oh, no. So you move it around and it's like that little circle instead of an arrow. And then that circle will snap to like whatever UI element you're hovering over. So if you hover over the compose, you know, button in email, it'll like turn to a square and now you're there.
Dude, I was like actually kind of, I thought this like trackpad was a good idea and that would drive me insane.
I mean,
for no real reason, but I would.
You watch this video though, it looks like it works pretty well. And then the other thing is there are a bunch of gestures for the same things that you would do with your fingers on the iPad screen. So instead of like doing that like squeeze in to bring all your apps in, now there are three finger gestures on the trackpad for the iPad. This is insane. So you swipe over on the iPad trackpad with three fingers and it moves you between apps and you swipe up and down and it'll go home. You bring the cursor, air quotes cursor, all the way to the bottom and it brings the dock up from the bottom. Like all this is just like a Mac, kinda, sorta. it's a really blurry line now.
Yeah, it's like, it's not quite, it's like if a two-in-one was focused on the tablet first and giving you an accessory to turn it into a computer. It almost reminds me more of like, dare I say Dex? Of like, this is, you have an iPad, you're using this mostly because it's an iPad, but then at times you want to hook it up so it's
once in a
more
while.
Like your laptop. Yeah, it's like you're not using this all the time. You want to sit down and be productive and have your full keyboard and you want to type something up. I don't know if we mentioned this in a podcast episode or if it was a conversation I had on Twitter, but more and more people who are writing blogs or journalists are using iPads more and more for just typing up their basic stuff.
Yeah.
And it's super easy to use all the time with your finger, whether you're on the train or something, but every once in a while, you just want to crush out a full article and that's so much easier on a keyboard.
On a real keyboard.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess really it all will come down to like, if you're thinking about, okay, I have X dollars to spend, do I get a fully decked out iPad Pro and the $300 Magic Keyboard or do I get a MacBook Air? The question will come down to what your usage mostly is.
Yeah.
To me, the iPad is amazing for like casual use, like media consumption, grabbing Netflix, watching YouTube videos, swiping between like just random apps, Twitter, the web browser, stuff like that, pinch to zoom. That whole experience is great. But the second you have to do like file management and just a couple, like you got to sign a PDF and send it, like all these little things will start to add up when you really need to get real work done. But on the other half, there's like the MacBook Air, which is like, always set for that, always has a real computer, always ready to do productivity work. It's Mac OS X. But if you just want to like casually sit around and watch YouTube videos, or if you just want to swipe around on Twitter, like maybe it's more enjoyable on a tablet. So you just got to think about what you do more often.
I also like wonder, like I would always pick, if I traveled all the time, I would pick an iPad for the majority of that work. Like a laptop is just so much extra space when you set it up on the, like if I was traveling and I wanted to watch a movie on a decent sized screen that's not my phone, I would always have to like put the tray table down and set up my laptop. Whereas if it was an iPad, if I wanted to just like, oh man, I don't want to get into the whole leaning back argument on a plane for God's sake, but like I can just hold it in my lap, or you know, the part where you're taking off and you can't put your tray table down. It's so hard to watch something on a laptop where I can just hold my iPad.
It's so funny. To me, I love my iPad for everything except the productivity stuff. Uh-huh. So if I was just like watching videos, or if I kick it up here on a stand and I'm just reading off of it, like that's fine. But for me, when I travel a lot, I want to bring the laptop because the hinge is sturdier. So if I just want to watch like Netflix or watch a YouTube video, it just sits there and holds itself instead of me having to hold it for an hour.
Okay.
And if I ever want to like quick out real quick and like answer some emails, if you know the Wi-Fi on the plane will let me, I can actually do that pretty easily on the laptop rather than the iPad.
But so now coming into this $300
magic
floating
keyboard,
if that hinge is great, wouldn't that solve all those problems? And then
to
you would,
me, yeah, I think so.
So I think that's a perfect example of where this could bring people more. It's just another step forward for the iPad to bring people from ditching their, you know, classic laptop to being more into the iPad section, where now you have the choice. Now, do I want to just hold it in my lap? Am I in an Uber ride and I just want to watch a YouTube video? Or now am I on a plane where I'm watching something, oh, now I want to answer a bunch of emails, strap it onto my keyboard, and now I can type, and now I can face it so I don't have to hold it. It hopefully has a sturdy hinge, and now it's also kind of like a dock for you to watch movies on.
So here's why I think it's not going to sway me.
Okay.
There's a couple things that have always prevented me from using an iPad for everything.
Mm-hmm.
And that's number one, when I hold the iPad, you see I have no case on it. It's got a skin on it, but like, I just like having this thin, like boxy profile. When you have that magic keyboard on it and you're not using it, you have to fold this whole thing over to the back of the iPad. And for me, holding all of that and the way it like constantly falls off the back if you don't hold it up, that I hate that.
Do we know how easy it attaches and detaches?
It's just magnets.
I mean, so to me, that it's funny that you say that. In my entire scenario, I just played out, and man, this scenario has evolved so much that if you're all trying to think about this in your head, you're probably lost by now. So I apologize. But I guess to me, I always saw that as like, I would keep it. It still counts as a case. So when it's in my backpack, my screen's not getting scratched. But as I take it out of my backpack, if I'm just doing iPad stuff, I would probably just detach it.
Just pull it out.
And then when I wanted to, snap it back onto the case if it's just magnets. And then I have either propping it up to watch movies, or I have my keyboard for more work-related stuff.
Okay, so that's the one thing. And I guess that's perfectly reasonable. I just snap it out with the magnets. I don't know why I thought that was such a big obstacle. But the other thing is the hinge is never really that good.
True. Okay, yeah.
And the lap ability, when you put this thing in lap, is it going to just like wobble around
with
your knees?
In your lap, is it going to fit?
Because a laptop, the hinge is pretty much always sturdy enough to just sit there and not wobble, and you can type and you don't have to worry about also touching the screen. It's just going to sit there and be a screen. Where with this, it's supposed to be hovering 2 inches above the keyboard. So is it going to wobble 2 inches above the keyboard, or is it going to sit there firmly? When I adjust the tilt, what's that going to be like? Is it going to only have a couple of tilt angles available? I have a lot of questions about the hinge.
Yeah, I think the hinge for so many different things, even laptops, like the hinge is that underrated thing no one thinks about.
And it's then so important.
Is the first thing that you get super annoyed about.
That's also the reason why I'm not a huge user of laptop touchscreens.
Yeah,
anytime you
so
touch
hard.
The screen, especially near the top, it's just going to wobble like crazy, no matter how good the hinge is.
Yeah.
So, hey, I guess we're coming back to praising hinge design. I know we were talking about folding phones and how important the hinge is. Hey, hinge designers, big shout out to you guys. Your jobs are more important than you think.
Yeah.
I guess all of this is to say, or to ask my question, what are the chances we ever get Final Cut Pro on an iPad Pro? If I were to guess my answer, it's zero, because they need to protect the MacBook Pro somehow.
But it's funny because their whole slogan on the iPad is like, what's a computer? Like, stop like worrying about your computer. But they also make the computer, so they want you to think of it as a computer, but also
don't think of our MacBooks as a computer. Yeah.
It's kind
we're
of
more
mess.
Powerful than any PC, including our own. But don't think about ours. This is definitely not going to replace our PCs. I just think if they made their desktop apps awesome on the iPad, it would fully sell me on the idea that they're really convinced this could replace a MacBook Pro or a PC laptop.
But they
would actually stop selling good PC laptops. I don't know. But they're never going to put a touchscreen on a Mac. So what's the overlap is just never...
What do you think comes first, touchscreen on a Mac or Final Cut on an iPad?
Wow. Very low chance of either of those happening. I would say they will make some sort of Final Cut Lite on an iPad before they ever make a touchscreen Mac.
I'm going touchscreen Mac first.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
MacBook.
Touchscreen
Which
MacBook.
Which I think is what we were talking about, but just to be clear.
I mean, any Mac. I don't think that's an interesting bet. We'll see. I mean, this is either one of these is years out just because the overlap has been such a blurred line for so long. But yeah.
Do you think if the Surface Studio PC did better, they would ever consider doing touchscreen on like an iMac since the form factor is kind of similar?
It doesn't have
that like crazy hinge, which I feel is like what makes it. But I also just don't think Surface Studio did well enough for anyone to like.
And even if it did do really well, would it be doing well because it's a touchscreen computer, or would it be just because it's a great all-in-one that happens to have like some niche group of users who get a really good kick out of
that group of users would be the like design users who a lot of them like to use Mac. So imagine now an iMac that can swivel down more and be used as kind of a tablet,
like a drawing tablet type thing.
I mean, that's what the Surface Studio was supposed to kind of be. It was supposed to be for designers who could have their regular desktop computer then slot it down.
So you're imagining
a place to draw on.
Yeah. So you're imagining like an iPad, like an iMac Pro with Apple Pencil support.
Mm-hmm.
So that it would be a touchscreen technically, but it would be for the designer who's using it like an easel, type of thing.
So it'd be touchscreen, but it would be more focused on using a pencil.
Yeah.
I think that'd be pretty sick.
I'm not disagreeing. I think it would be sick. I just don't think Apple would do it.
All right. Because I don't disagree with you.
Because think about
either.
Mac OS X. Once you're going, okay, now we're going to do touchscreen on a Mac. Now you have to build this custom, like all the controls that you're used to doing with a mouse. Now you have to build all of that for your hands, which Microsoft kind of did fine with Windows, but like now you're doing window dragging and pinching and multitasking and all that stuff on top of all the gestures you already had on a trackpad, on top of all the mouse stuff you already had, which is just a lot.
Yeah, but I think if Apple thought they could make money off of it, they could do it.
Fair.
No problem.
Fair. So the goal is to inflate the perceived size of this easel market where people are just drawing on their computers.
I feel
all the
time. It's way too niche in order to ever actually become a product. But I think it could be really cool. I thought the Surface Studio was a really cool product that I'm not artistically gifted enough to ever use, but I thought
sick.
It was really cool looking.
It's definitely sick. I've seen it used in some really cool applications. Actually, I mean, there's plenty of cool uses for it. It's just a matter of like how many of them would they sell.
It's kind of like a GoPro. Like you buy it, you're like, oh, I'm going to draw so many cool things. And then you draw on it once you're like, I'm not talented enough to use this to its full potential.
I saw those cool skiing videos and I bought a GoPro and then I was like, I'm not doing anything.
Now it just
weekend.
Looks like I'm going a mile an hour down the hill.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Man. All right. Well, that's our new Apple products. We have probably more coming. I'm guessing we're still going to see a new iPhone in the first half of this year. Something like an iPhone 9 or an iPhone SE 2.
In the first half of this year?
I think so. I think we might see it.
Really?
Yeah, because we were expecting not an iPhone 8 replacement, but basically an older iPhone body with internals upgraded and a smaller size.
And we were expecting it in the first half?
Yeah. I think potentially March or April. But again, timing
is... Do you think
is,
there's any chance they push it back just because like a phone seems like something they would want to run an event for? Do you think they just toss it in the same regular iPhone lineup?
tough later. To say. I mean, there's also rumors of supply chain, obviously, shortages making it difficult
to
start launching
things. Yeah, I don't
know
enough about that, so it's like, it's a tough thing.
There's a lot of potential delays, and you can imagine if they tried to launch that phone tomorrow, like how long it would take to get it on sale with every store closed and like no events going on, and like how would that even work? So I don't think it's inevitable, but if it does, we'll have our eye out on that. But so far, we have iPad Pro now, we have MacBook Air, and we're expecting more. So that's sort of the top of the tech news.
There's not a whole lot of tech news other than things canceling and stuff going on, how places are reacting to all this. Man, you know, we started this off by saying that's all we wanted to talk about, but this is affecting literally every aspect of our life. So
everything.
It's kind of tough not to talk about it. A lot of things are going to be drastically, drastically different.
It's, you know, when you say it affected everything, it literally affected. So you know how the NBA season got canceled?
Mm-hmm.
In NBA 2K, you can play games against other people with the same teams based on like live roster updates. Uh-huh. So if I pull up 2K and I'm like, let's play as the Bucks versus the Bulls, it'll give you like the Bucks and the Bulls, but if Giannis is injured in real life, you can't have Giannis on your team. And the NBA season being canceled glitched the crap out of 2K because people were unable to play games for a little bit for various roster related reasons.
I have seen in the NHL some mascots are live streaming playing NHL 2K against each other.
Oh yes.
Instead of the actual games being played.
That's
which
amazing.
I think is hilarious.
I think
but
one
I think
NBA
we'll
team
fun.
Yeah
did they
one NBA game and they broadcasted it and
that's
commentated
awesome.
And everything. Yeah. So, you know, if it's going to affect everything, might as well make the best of it.
Yeah, right? Like, at least we can think of it as we're in a day and age where we're being forced to stay home, but technology really brings so much more to our home that can entertain us now that hopefully this podcast is one of them. But there's still a lot of fun things. I mean, I play World of Warcraft, so I've been self-quarantined since it came out in August, so none of this is affecting me at all. But
I've been practicing social distancing for 25 years now, and it's gone great. I'm prepared. All right, let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll talk about all that extra content we liked and we'll really fill out the show notes for you.
Yeah, let's
do it. Be right
back.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prop G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Gary Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from Blue Flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds four times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
Support for Waveform comes from 1Password. So it's hard to come up with a totally unique password every time you need one, but it's what you got to do to stay secure. Luckily, a password manager makes creating and tracking your passwords completely painless. So 1Password combines industry-leading security with award-winning design to bring its users private, secure, and user-friendly password management. And it does that by generating as many strong, unique passwords as you need, and then securely storing them in an encrypted vault that only you have access to. With 1Password, you just need to remember one strong account password, and it'll protect everything else from your logins, your credit cards, notes, office Wi-Fi, etc. You no longer need to keep a bunch of sticky notes all over your desk or reuse the same password over and over again. I've tried out 1Password. As you know, I switch between devices and phones constantly, and so using 1Password to just fill out things quickly and log into a whole bunch of stuff makes switching between devices a lot easier, so I'm all good to go once I sign in. So right now, our listeners can get a free two-week trial at 1Password.com/waveform. That's the number 1Password.com/waveform for two free weeks. So 1Password.com/waveform.
Hi, everyone. I'm Brené Brown, and this is Unlocking Us. In this podcast, we'll explore ideas, stories, experiences, research, books, films, music, anything that reflects the universal experiences of being human, from the bravest moments to our most broken-hearted moments. Some episodes will be conversations with the people who are teaching me, challenging me, confusing me, maybe ticking me off a little bit. And some days I'll just talk directly to you about what I'm learning and how it's changing the way I think and feel. The first episodes are out now. We're going to do 3 or 4 part series every quarter, so about 12 to 15 episodes a year. Unlocking Us will always drop on Wednesdays. And now you can find me wherever you normally listen to your podcasts. You can get new episodes as soon as they are published by following Unlocking Us on your favorite podcast app. And as always, stay awkward, brave, and kind.
All right, welcome back to a new segment we call Quarantine Content.
Oh, God.
And by we, I mean I just made that up.
You literally just made that up, yeah.
But we usually do a sort of a content we liked and stuff that you should check out section in the show notes every week or every episode. This one is a little different, meaning it's just there's a bunch more stuff because there's...
We all have more time.
Let's face it, you have more time. Yeah. So you have a bunch of stuff, but I just wanted to start off... I'm going to start off the top just with YouTube. In general, for me, I watch a lot of YouTube and I don't really watch that much else. Like I know a lot of people are, hey, firing up Hulu Plus and Netflix and all that other stuff. For me, it's just if I watch like maybe half of the new videos in my sub box on a regular basis, I think now it's not just like any one type of video or any one creator that's benefiting, but I feel like I watch like maybe 85-90% of the new stuff
that's
coming
lot.
Up now.
Yeah.
Also, which brings me to a fun fact, the MKBHD channel just reached a milestone.
Yeah, what's that?
I was going to ask if you have a guess of what is, but it's Super BTS.
Super BTS.
You'd only know this by being in the analytics of the channel.
Okay, I have like, in the Q&A video, you just mentioned that we were at, it was like 1.5 billion total views or something like
that? 1.7 billion total views and 7.4 billion watch minutes.
Okay, so I'm assuming both of those are at like not really that close.
Yeah, it's not one of those.
My other one I like kind of think just because it's a little less well known, are we getting close to a like dislike milestone? I know we hit that a little while ago. We hit our 1 million dislikes.
Yeah.
Or no, unsubscribers.
1 million unsubscribers. It's in that category of like a subset of a bigger number. It is MKBHD channel just reached 1 million subscribers that hit the notification bell. And apparently the ratio is typically about 1 of every 10%.
Okay,
so there's
so
a million
right
of you that are subscribed and have hit the notification bell. So big shout out to y'all for that notification on the channel. There's still 9 million of you who have to catch up, but hey, that's a good start. That's a good start.
Ring that bell.
Ring that bell, hit that red button. No, in content I liked, I had a video. So Tesla Model Y is starting to ship actually, like ahead of schedule, like we keep talking about, which is super cool. So there's a Tesla Model Y video starting to trickle out there. If you just search Tesla Model Y delivery, you can find a bunch of them.
Mm-hmm.
Check those out. But I'm going to recommend waiting for Doug DeMiro's because I think it's going to be great.
Yeah, he had a picture, I think, of
I think he's shooting
one.
With probably one of the same first ones that a lot of other people are with. Until then, you can check out his 37-minute Corvette C8 review. A lot of people were waiting for the mid-engine Corvette review. He finally did it. It is number one on trending right now. Congrats, Doug, on your first top trending video. So check that out. I watched a 37-minute video about a Corvette.
Yeah, he's one of those ones who's like, I love what Doug does, but they're so long. But
yeah, what else am I going to do?
Yeah, 37 minutes, no big deal.
That's in the show notes. It's Corvette review.
All right, Corvette review for everyone.
You know, in case you were thinking about dropping some extra
God, I don't
extra
even
money.
Know how much it is, but oh man, okay. I'm gonna give you, I have a lot of different suggestions here. I have a podcast, I have a Netflix series, I have a YouTube channel, and I have a newsletter. What do you want to hear first?
Whoa, okay. Hit me with the YouTube channel first.
Okay. This one I'm really excited to talk about, actually, because I don't think he's very well known. He pops up on Reddit every once in a while, and I actually think he's like a perfect channel for the situation we're in right now of being home all the time.
Is it a binge channel? Like you'd binge a bunch of them?
You could, but I wouldn't recommend it because it's like an instructional channel almost. It's entertaining, but okay, it's a cooking channel.
Okay.
I'll start it there. So I feel like you wouldn't binge it because you would want to watch something and then you would want to make what he teaches you how to make.
Right.
Okay, so the channel name is, it's very strange, Internet Shaquille.
Okay.
Like Shaquille O'Neal, spelled just like that. If I could sum up the channel, it's like, have you ever wanted to go make a recipe you find online and like you find the blog post of whatever
it is? Sounds like a channel
trailer. There's like 30 paragraphs of the story of why they're so excited to make this. And then you have to get down into the ingredients past like 10 ads and and all that. And it's a pain in the neck. This guy, all of his videos, I would say, are like averaging around 5 minutes. He's just super to the point. Here's how you make it. Here's why you should make it like this instead of all the other ways that you should make it. And like, it's all really, really good. Like, I don't know if I would say full on gourmet, but it's like above average cooking tips on how to do different things. And he's just stupidly entertaining.
This sounds like the type of video that, you know how if you ask, you know the Google Home Nest Mini with the little screen on it?
Yeah.
This, or the Nest Hub, whatever it's called.
Hub, yeah.
You know how when you ask it for like instructions on how to make something, it'll sort of try to walk you through it based on what came up in Google search? This sounds like this should be the default video it shows you.
Pretty much.
For any given recipe that he's covered.
Some of the things he does are like very specific. He doesn't have a giant channel. It's not his full-time thing as far as I know, so like he's just making things when he has the chance to, but very, very entertaining, very to the point. Like I have binged them even though I haven't made anything, just because I think he's very funny
just
and super interesting. But great knowledge on how to cook things, why different ingredients or why different types of like oils and seasoning and all that are beneficial, and just some really, really, I've made a bunch of his stuff and I feel like it's a perfect time to watch his stuff now, because you're probably sitting at home with a giant stockpile in your refrigerator and your pantry, and a lot of the stuff he does is stuff you probably have at home already. I think the one I want to recommend is called Why Aren't Your Potatoes Crispy Enough? And in like a 3 or 4 minute video, he teaches you how to make these like really, really outside crispy but inside light and fluffy potatoes, and all you need are potatoes and some oil and some salt.
Okay, so that'll be the one we put in the show notes then.
Yeah, I'll put that one in the show notes.
I appreciate anything crispy, so this will be exactly the one I check out.
Definitely try these at home. They're super easy and I've made them and they're delicious. It's kind of like French fries, but nowhere near as terrible for you, because you're not deep frying them in like a ton of oil. You're using a little bit of oil, but I'm actually going to try one he does. He talks about how to make like the perfect burger patty, which is this absolutely insane way of taking ground beef and layering it so you're getting the least resistance in your bite as possible, and cooking it like a day before.
This is like science. It's
kind of like that. And, you know, since I'm going to be home the next couple of days, I plan on actually trying it out. But super, super suggest Internet Shaquille if you want to just try cooking something a little different, because you've got plenty of time to make dinner, let's face it.
Yeah.
All right. Podcast next?
Yeah, let's do the podcast.
All right. It's Reply All.
Oh, okay.
Come on. It's Reply All. Their newest episode.
Oh, is this the one about the song that they couldn't quite find? Okay, this one was really satisfying.
Like, I honestly think it's one of my favorite podcast episodes I've ever listened to.
There's a couple Reply All episodes that are like quintessential, like, recommenders, where if you ever ask someone, have you heard this podcast, and they're like, no, what's it like, here, listen to this episode.
Exactly.
And for me, for a long time, that's been the one where they it was a two-parter where they were going after like the robocall center where they actually traveled, the telemarketer one. That one, 100%, if you haven't heard that, oh God, can we link that?
I have it. Yeah, I can link it. So it's episode 102 and 103. It's called Long Distance, part one and part two.
If you haven't listened to those, that is 100% my favorite podcast individual episode of all time.
Yeah, it's a little different because you don't get the full feel of Reply All because only one person's reporting on it.
Right.
You don't get PJ and Alex, and only Alex is reporting on that. But a lot of those two, their dynamic is amazing. So anyways, I actually have that like written down as one of the episodes you should listen to. The newest episode is 158. It's called The Case of the Missing Hit. Pretty much a guy remembers this song and can't find it anywhere on the internet. So they do a segment called Super Tech Support, and they do everything they can. And I mean everything they can to find this song.
It is hilarious. They do so much work.
If you remotely like 90s music, it is an incredible episode. And then my other one that I really like if you're any Harry Potter fans out here, episode 134 is called The Year of the Wallop. And they do this really, I think this is one of the best segments on, at least in podcasting that I know of. It's called Yes, Yes, No.
Where they explain internet theories.
Yeah, they're like, their boss comes in with a tweet that he's seen that's really popular, but doesn't understand any of it. So they spend the episode like explaining every memes. Like reference. Yeah, the like right. memes of it. This one's not their boss. It's actually Jason Mantzoukas, who's a comedian and a actor. Mm-hmm. Has a lot to do with Harry Potter. Really, really good episode.
Nice.
Man, I feel like I'm listing too many and you haven't listed any here.
Okay, if you got to listen to Reply All, yeah, listen to the latest, the Case of the Missing Hit. Really satisfying. And it also, just because they kind of go into tech more than a typical like podcast, like they yeah, could just be them. Entertaining and just talk mm-hmm. about like, here we made this song to try to see if we could find it. But literally the technical details of like what SoundHound yeah. does and what like this recording atmosphere is like and just the whole format of it is yeah. excellent. So I'll second that recommendation. Cool. I've heard it. Check that out.
Awesome. Netflix series. There's one called Explained, and I think I mostly am just talking about this because they had an episode all about pandemics.
Oh,
that I watched, convenient. I think in January when we first heard about all this, and it was like watching that episode leading up to way before all of this has happened was like, that's kind of terrifying.
Mm.
And now we're kind of in that.
Fast
and
forward, yeah.
So if you're looking for just more information on pandemics and past pandemics that have happened to kind of compare to what we're going in right now, really, really cool
Andrew,
series.
That's right in line with quarantine content. That's perfect.
It is literally
great quarantine content.
And then I'm going to do one more recommendation here. This is actually a newsletter, so this is reading.
Okay.
I'm going to open it up by saying, first off, it is written by a friend of mine, actually a friend of Marquez's as well. So full disclosure, we know this person. It is also based on politics. So his views are his own. I enjoy reading them. I don't know if I necessarily agree with literally everything he says, but I find him extremely trustworthy. And the whole point of the newsletter and the website he owns is to be nonpartisan. There are no ads on the website. He just wants to get everything out that he can.
So he's like explaining or just like breaking down what happened in the news and
pretty
the
much,
political world.
And he does it in like super easy 10-ish minute reads. So
there's
it's like
a lot. This is one of those years where like it helps to be able to break things down like that, because yeah. there is so much happening. And if I just log on to Twitter and I see like three political trending topics and about 90 articles,
yeah,
I'm
so
not
tough.
About to try to dive into all that. So I feel like that's something that could help.
Yeah, it's super great. It's called Tangle. I'm gonna link it in the show notes, like we said. It's by Isaac Saul, good friend of ours. He plays frisbee, but I just think I know he pours his heart and his soul into this, and I find him extremely, extremely trustworthy in a time where the internet can have a lot of misinformation out there. So we'll link it every day. Post a topic, 10-minute read. I usually read it during my lunch break, kind of get informed about what's going on, because it is impossible to keep yeah. up with everything.
Yeah.
So just having a little snippet of something every once in a while.
I just thought of another piece.
I was really hoping you would think of something
yeah,
so that
I
didn't
one.
Have like 10. All
it's right. another YouTube video, but it's cool. it's the, you've heard of John Oliver. What is this segment called?
Oh,
every week?
Last Week Tonight.
Last Week Tonight. He did one on specifically on the coronavirus.
He's done two.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, he just released a new one to with no audience. Did you watch it?
Right. That's the one I watched.
It's, first of all, is it really strange not having...
It's so strange. So the yeah. delivery, just like in the world of like live events that don't have audiences anymore, there is like everything from, what was that? There's a WWE clip where like they're fighting in an empty arena.
I haven't seen it. I know they're trying to do WWE.
Yeah, it's
yeah.
rough. Like uh-huh. every time there's a punchline, it's just like an awkward pause to the camera. And uh-huh. you're like, that would have been laughing probably. So John Oliver has his typical delivery style, mm-hmm. and he went super deep into specifically the coronavirus pandemic, not just yeah. pandemics in general. But yeah, it's again him delivering to an empty studio where you're like, that would typically be a pause for effect or
yeah,
a reaction.
Yeah, yeah.
But either way,
John yeah. Oliver's is incredible. I love his show. If that's something you want to binge watch, he's very popular, so I feel like a lot of people probably watch him, but...
Yeah, but it's bingeable right now.
It is very bingeable.
A lot of stuff.
I think I've seen almost every episode of that. Every Monday, it is what I turn on and just listen to on my car ride to work, and then I usually watch it again later that night so I can see all the graphics, like the visuals and stuff.
Yeah.
It's a good way of getting kind of like an overview of some sort of important topic, but with some humor behind it.
Sometimes a not important topic, but still equally entertaining.
Extremely. What was that? What was the that one leader that was That's obsessed with horses? Okay, I'm going to link.
Yeah.
I'm going to link that video, actually. You guys can go and find the coronavirus one if you want to listen to it, but I'm going to, probably the most underrated version or episode he's done is about a leader of some country who's obsessed with horses.
Yeah, it's
incredible. It is so funny.
Yeah.
All right. Do you think that's enough
quarantine content for this episode. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's a good start.
Sorry, if any of you guys are listening to this in the car, it's going to be really hard to go find these videos. I kind of am assuming more people are now listening to this at home.
I hope
you're listening to it at home.
Show notes are still all links, I believe. Yeah. So if you're somewhere on your phone and you can open these one by one and save them to Pocket or open them on a different browser, all of that's possible. But we'll try to make it as easy as possible to find the stuff we're talking about. And if any of it is like a Netflix show or just a title, that's searchable. So hopefully that works too.
Do you want to potentially... I know we keep our Twitter to mostly just updates. Do you want to...
Oh, just a big show notes
Do you
want to
just do a thread of...
Quarantine content.
Quarantine content.
You have to say it. You have to say quarantine content.
I have to say it?
Yeah, we all have to say it. Okay. That's the hashtag.
All right.
If you guys have other quarantine content you want to send my way, hashtag quarantine.
Yeah, why don't we, after this releases, we'll make a tweet with everything we've talked about here for you guys to take a look at. And then we highly encourage everyone who has anything else to post it in that thread.
Yeah.
Everyone can come together.
And enjoy our quarantine together.
Enjoy some stuff together. Yeah.
Perfect. You have to say quarantine.
Quarantine.
Quarantine content.
Quarantine content.
There it
together.
Is.
Quarantine content apart, but together.
There it is.
All right.
Be responsible. Stay inside. Wash your hands.
Yeah,
enjoy the quarantine content.
Flatten the curve, guys. Let's do it.
Thanks for listening. It's been a good one. We'll hopefully be back soon with some more tech news and some more quarantine content and all of the above. Catch you guys in the next one.
Waveform is brought to you in part with Studio 71, and our intro outro music is created by Cameron Barlow.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.